Sando's in, and just to the Port fans, a lot of text messages, 1-999-1395. I hope you do the Angus Momfries for 2 hours after this. Well, we are going to speak to Gus at 5:30. Look, Adelaide's lost to Melbourne by 3 points. Look, it shattered the supporter base and left some questions for the playing group and coaches to answer. So it's great that their senior coach, Brenton Sanderson, has given up his time and hopefully can give us some clarity with some of them. Sando, thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Crows have been building for 3 weeks. I bet you didn't see that loss coming.
No, we didn't. Was quietly confident that we had turned some of that poor form early in the season around. And we're playing some really good footy, but in patches. We're not playing four quarters. And probably the only game was the St Kilda game where we made a real statement and won each of those four quarters. But, I mean, even in those first three losses, the Sydney, Port Adelaide and Geelong losses, we were right in those games. We were right in those games till late in the game. And then for whatever reasons, we got blown away late in the fourth quarter in each of those games. But better against, the Bulldogs, St Kilda and GWS. But that first half against Melbourne is as bad as we've played in the 2.5 years that I've been here. So, yeah, really, really angry, upset. Took it out in the players this afternoon in our review. There was some horrible vision that we showed the players of that first half. But, I mean, to their credit, we lost Tommy Lynch early. We lost Yench early. We were down to two on the bench, and the boys outscored Melbourne by 25 points in the second half with only two on the bench. But the horse had bolted. The bad work just couldn't be overridden.
Something's wrong. What is it?
It's a good question. We have to strip it right back and identify the areas that need to be improved on. I mean, number one at the list is our starts. We've only won two of our first seven first quarters. We're playing well in patches, but we're not playing well consistently. And it's like when we can't score, we need to make it almost a nil or draw. During those times. But unfortunately, at the moment, when we're not scoring, we're getting very heavily scored against. So I'd say the starts. Number two, scores against from turnovers. Our kicking efficiency is really poor, sometimes under no pressure at all. You know, even on the weekend, that first half, we kicked the ball at 47% effectiveness, which for those people who are listening, that's to the point where that's diabolical numbers. Mm. That's horrific, and Melbourne made us pay. We kicked the first goal of the game, and then our next goal came, I think, at about the 20-minute mark of the second quarter.
But, Sando, strip it back to this, you're just not playing as a team. You honestly, no one's playing their role consistently enough or long enough as a team and for each other.
Yeah, I think they're playing as a team. It's just, I mean, and I've heard a lot of people say we're not attacking that well. Leading into the weekend's game, we were the third best attack in the competition. We're kicking 98 points a game. I think the major issue for us is defensively we're not working as a team. So I think we're...
But isn't that playing for each other?
Yeah, that's working together to ensure that when I can't get to my opponent, one of my teammates is, and
you cover and spread.
At the moment, I think we go into that self-preservation mode where if I've got Bone, if Bone's my opponent, I'll just stay on him and then I'll just let you run free. Whereas I think we're trying to teach where if I've got Bone and I've got him covered, and then I see you in a more dangerous position, I've got to leave Bone and then go and cover you. But at the moment, there's a little bit of self-preservation. We didn't see it in the second half, but we certainly saw some really poor defensive efforts in that first half.
And you're picking on a 50-year-old then, which isn't fair, so just remember that. What's the Crows' way? I think we used to know when you came to this footy club in 2012, and I know that's 2 years ago, we saw a brand of football. Each and every week, we knew what you were going to do, how you were going to do it. It was attractive. Everybody bought in. It appeared to be the Crows' way. Have you changed it, or have they lost the idea of what the Crows' way is? Or isn't there one anymore?
No, we haven't changed it, and I think the players still know exactly what we're requiring from them. If you think back to 2012, our numbers, we didn't lose any week in contested ball. Our method around the contest, our hardness around the footy, was there, rain, hail or shine, round one or round 22. That was something that was really consistent. At the moment, we're getting beaten around the contest. Our contested ball numbers have certainly dropped significantly. So some of that's clientele. Some of that's the way that we're playing. But you're right, the intensity, the ability to be able to control the game by winning that hard contested ball hasn't been there, and it's something that we need to improve immediately.
Were you going to say mindset? Normally that's a mindset. Contested footy is about will and want, so is tackling. Your tackling numbers aren't great either. Is that It's all under the same umbrella?
Well, it's funny because in 2012 and 2013, our tackling numbers were worse than what they are now. So it's one area that we have got a little bit better at. But we're not getting as many stoppages in our games, which is surprising. Because back in 2012, when we were the number one contested ball in the the number one clearance team in the competition, we were getting a lot more stoppages. We're playing a bit more through the corridor now, which is sort of, it helps our attack. I said we're the third best attack in the competition, averaging 98 points a game. But sometimes when you turn the ball over in the corridor, it comes back with interest the other way. So that's one thing we've got to look at. Do we need to play a bit more boundary safe, a bit like, whether it's Collingwood or Carlton, who chip the ball around the boundary a bit more, which is not really attractive how I want to play. Mm. But the number one thing, I mentioned the starts. Number two would be our kicking efficiency, because we are turning the ball over by foot, and it's been catastrophic at times.
So as a rule, though, as an umbrella, you're relatively happy with the things that you rate highly, contested, well, not contested, but you're tackling. You're relatively happy with what you're doing and what you're trying to do? You're just not executing well at the moment?
No, the drills we're doing at training, we're focusing so much on trying to improve our contested ball ability, and also too that next band. I think in some of the losses, particularly against Geelong and Port in round one and round two, our numbers were okay at the contest, but it was Port had the next two or three in that next band, like not actually right in at the coalface, but the next two or three players in that next band. We're either Port Adelaide or Geelong in those first two rounds. So we're chipping away at that. We're looking for ways to improve that. As I said, and as Robbie mentioned at the top of the program, it felt like we'd made some really important inroads into improving that.
Yep.
And the Western Bulldogs game, we played two quarters and won that game. You know, we were terrible in the first quarter, terrible in the last quarter, but our second and third quarters were really dynamic. They were really awesome, and it felt like we'd turned the corner a bit, but then we had a really poor fourth quarter, and we unfortunately took that into the first half on the weekend. And it's hard because I know people will want to know, well, what are you saying to them before the game? What's the mood like in the rooms? What's the energy like? It frustrates me because it feels like we're ready to start. I mean, the players, you know, they're really up. Their body language is that we're going to start this game with a really high intensity. But even on the weekend, Dangerfield kicks the first goal of the game within 45 seconds, and I feel like we're up and about. Melbourne kicked the next six or seven goals. We don't get our next goal until the 20-minute mark of the second. So. It was horrific. I showed some edits to the players about an hour ago where I just can't believe this was us playing. You know, that first half was as bad as I've seen us play. We need to be better than that. To their credit, they came back out after half time and were much better. But as I said, the horse had bolted. We got back within 3 points. But even then, in the last quarter, there was some really fundamental mistakes. You know, Jamar's mark on the goal line. We were only 4 points down when he took that mark. But if you rewind another sort of minute, there was a forward 50 stoppage where they quick kick it out, and I think it's Lyndon Dunn takes a mark with three of our players around him, kicks the ball to a contest. We give away a free kick, and then there's a obviously Jack Watts has a shot from about 55 out. We've only got two on two on the goal line, and one of them was Jacobs and Talia. I don't know where the rest of our players were. They were just really lazy to get to the contest, and we can't cop that. We've got to be better than that. We're kidding ourselves if we think that's going to compete with the top sides.
Sando, if we wind back the clock to when you got the job in 2011, you had a press conference, then you spoke to us immediately afterwards. We just want to wind back the clock because a lot of text and emails and phone calls and tweets and Facebooks, they've gone absolutely berserk. They're saying, what's changed since then? Now, personnel-wise, that prelim final, only four players. But here's what you said in our interview with us all that time ago.
You go to the footy and you want to be entertained. But I've got this vision that when our supporters leave the stadium, that they've loved watching this side have an absolute crack. And that might sound a little bit basic, but I love players that give themselves to the team. Mm. I love players that are really honest and can support each other by just putting their head over the footy. I have a defence-first mentality, but I think that's not being too dour. I think some of your best attack comes on the back of great defence. And also, too, I want the players to know that there's certain roles and responsibilities that they've got to play on match day. So make certain that that's really crystal clear with each player when they go out and play.
Attacking and ruthless, and we don't want to go back to 2012, a fantastic year, a byproduct of Craigie having a disciplined team, super fit. You took the shackles off and away they went. We're getting a lot of text messages saying, are those shackles back on? You talk about playing ugly or playing, what was the word you used against the Bulldogs? Not ugly footy, but...
can't remember.
Rough, tough,
unattractive
football. What's changed? Are the shackles back on?
No, the shackles aren't back on. I mean, we aren't playing the way that we wanted to play. We had 63 inside 50s on the weekend and lost the game. And I know...
4 marks inside 50. And you're kicking it to Eddie Betts, who's got 3 blokes on him.
Melbourne took 20 marks.
Oh, no.
In our forward 50, we took 4. So... we just kept bombing it in there with no... There was no system. There was no... as you said, we kicked it to Eddie when he was 1v4. But, I mean, that's the way that Roosie coaches, which is fine. I mean, that won them the game. They had 40 entries. We had 63. But, yeah, we just kept kicking it to exactly where they wanted us to kick it. It was a bit like a soccer game. It was... they just flooded numbers back. They let us kick the ball inside 50 and they tried to take advantage of the ball on the rebound. So we should have been smarter with how we moved the ball forward.
Didn't even up.
Yeah, we did at after half time. We went to what we call 6-6-6, which is it sounds a bit basic, but it's 6 forwards, 6 midfielders, 6 defenders. Whereas most clubs now play with 5 forwards and either 6 midfielders and 7 defenders. But we evened it up. They kept sending numbers back, and it was I guess an unattractive second half. But for us, you know, we kept pumping it in there, but we couldn't get reward.
There's no confusion with the way the boys are playing. We had Daniel Taylor afterwards saying certain guys aren't familiar with their role. You have tweaked the game style in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, we have to keep tweaking the game to keep up with the modern trends. But we still keep things very simple, and we do have certain roles that certain guys have to play. I mean, we've got 7 or 8 of our best 22 out at the moment as well. You know, I'd love to bring back Van Berlo, Henderson, Brad Crouch, Andy Otten, Ben Rutten, these sort of guys. And obviously now we lose Lynch and we lose Yench. I mean, for some reason we're having collision injuries. We're having broken legs, broken shoulders, broken jaws. We need to have a little bit of luck go our way and get our best side out on the paddock. But at the same time, when you pick a fit 22, you expect a better performance than what we got.
Who's driving that bloody karma bus or kicking black cats? And whoever's driving, it's got to go.
Yeah. Now, sometimes you go through these phases where you have a little bit of bad luck with injuries, and at the moment that's us, or it feels like it's been us for about a year and a half. I mean, we get text back against Collingwood, which will be a significant lift for us, and I know our fans can't wait to see him back out there. He looked great again on the weekend up at Clare, and... Hopefully he can help us and straighten us up a little bit.
Stats lie occasionally, and sometimes they tell you the truth. Gets it answered a couple for us. Your kicking game, it looked like you changed it after the third game and 3 losses and went to kick short and kicked noticeably short and held onto the footy and maintained possession. Yep. And have done that pretty well for 3.5 weeks. Half time, you appeared to change it and kick long in the second half. They were the stats.
Yep.
Was that... Responding to you or not?
Yeah, a little bit of that was design. After the first 3 weeks, we were playing 100 miles an hour for the whole game in those first 3 losses. And as we've discussed, we just couldn't keep up with that style. Whenever we got the ball, we were trying to move the ball fast. We were trying to take the ball forward. By the fourth quarters, we were absolutely spent. So we adjusted the way we played. We tried to hang on to the ball a little bit more, make the opposition defend us. That's where the short kicking and, I guess, playing a little bit of tempo footy came in. On the weekend, though, we went at 47%, I think, as in kicking efficiency leading up to half-time. So players were then told after half-time to kick the ball more direct, kick the ball to a contest. We evened up, as we said before, we went back to 6-6-6 with the way we structured the ball. The way we structured the...
did you overcorrect, Sander? I know what you're talking about. 14-4 against Geelong in turnover, 16 goals, 10 versus Port, 13 goals, 6 versus Sydney. When you turn it over playing corridor footy, you can't defend it.
Yep.
But have you overcorrected?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, it's something that we've got. We've got a 10-day break now. We've got the opportunity to sort of...
Because I reckon your best footy are the quarters where you attack. You play that attacking, ruthless football, and I'll tell you the quarters, the second quarter against Sydney, the second quarter against Geelong, the third quarter against Port, and they're those 3 top teams. When you attacked and played ruthless footy, you beat them.
Toe-to-toe,
Sando.
Yeah, we are a very good side when we get the game on our terms, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, when things aren't going our way for us, we can't be scored against. And that's what's happening at the moment, where when we can't develop our attack, our defence is not strong enough at the moment to withhold the opposition. And I said before, our attack is ranked third in the competition leading in the last round. Our defence was ranked 14th. So we do need a better balance. You go back through the premierships back until Kangaroos of 1999, where they had number one attack but number 10 defence. There hasn't been
but
a side.
But that could be inflated by those turnovers, because I think your defenders have been terrific. Daniel Taylor's All-Australian form. Hardigan's building. Your small defenders have hurt you.
It's actually not the defenders. It's more what I would call team defence. So that's actually the forwards.
We're not
too.
Playing your
that's
role.
That's forwards, midfielders and defenders as a team, not defending as a team. We're putting too much energy and focus into scoring goals, and on turnovers we're not able to defend it. So we've got to get back to doing the basics in defence really well. So we'll spend a fair bit of time. We've got four training sessions before Collingwood. We have to give the players a small break, and then we've got the ability to get four training sessions into them to ensure that we correct some of those defensive lapses.
Three questions for you, and I've whacked on about it for most of the year, so I've got to front up and say them to you. Can you put beyond doubt that your fitness is where you want it to be? Because I know it was an issue last year, and it's hard to make up significant ground over one pre-season.
Yep.
Can you put that one beyond any doubt?
I'd always love for our side to be fitter, but that's not the reason why we lost to Melbourne on the weekend.
What about leadership? Leadership looks like it's an issue, and this is not just about on the ground, but it might be through the entire club. Dean Bailey, we've spoken about it quite a lot, is a massive loss for you personally and for the team. He had that aura, I don't need to tell you. Has that been an issue for you? Is that an issue for you still?
I think so. I mean, that was a horrible time for our footy club, and that wasn't something that happened and we forgot about the next day. That losing Dean, right at the start of the footy season was such a horrible experience for everybody at our footy club, and I'm not sure what the flow and effect was. It didn't cost us games, but it's
we're intangible.
We're still, I guess, finding ways, and sometimes we sort of turn and want to talk to Dean, but he's not there. But as I said, that's drawing a long bow if we're trying to look at that as the main reason.
So have you got everybody in the box you need? I know Nobes has stepped up, but he's been torn in half. Have you got every resource you need in that coach's box game day?
Yeah, we have. We have to shuffle a few seats around to get what we wanted, but
it's not ideal.
But we'll look for someone to replace that Dean Bailey role in 2015.
We had Whispers text us 2 weeks ago, and he said that you've been speaking to Bomber Thompson. Can you confirm or deny that one?
I always speak to Bomber Thompson, but I haven't
offered him the job?
No, I wouldn't expect Bomber to be working for us next year, no.
Would you like him?
Oh, I'd like him and a lot of other people working for us, but I could say there's a 0.1% chance that Bomber would be working for us next year.
Three losses in a loss after your three wins. Where is the club? Can you tell your supporters who are listening and want some good news after the weekend? Is there good news there? Is there a good news story?
Yeah. I mean, we've still got plenty of fight left in us yet. Don't worry. You know, when we get... We include Tex and Dougie back into the side this week, Crouch, Henderson.
So I've got to stop you. Why didn't you play Taylor Walker on the weekend?
I would have loved to, but...
Why didn't you play him for the emotive bit? It's Melbourne, I know, but why didn't you the ball and play him?
The risk was, I mean, his knee's fine. His knee's stronger than it was before the injury. The risk associated with second game back after 12 months out is the soft tissue stuff, is calves, quads, hamstrings, glutes, backs, these sort of things. At the SANFL level, he could go his own speed. We could take him on and off the ground
when we wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly respected Melbourne on the weekend, and I would have loved to have played him. Tex really wanted to play as well, but the discussion we had with the medical team was for the lower risk option was to play him in the State League for one more week. But he'll be back. We'll get Douglas back. Crouch and Henderson are probably 3 to 4.
You're playing Paddy banged up?
Paddy's always banged up. He's not played a game yet that he's not banged up. I mean, he hurt himself on the weekend. He's got a nasty little ankle injury. We've got 10 days. Fingers crossed that he gets up for the Pies.
Tom Lynch, how is he?
I haven't seen Tom since the game, unfortunately. He's getting some advice on what to do with that jaw. It looks like it's a 4 to 6 week injury, though.
And Charlie Cameron, we're getting a lot of text messages. They like his game. I do too. He's put about four together now.
Yeah, actually, a mate of mine went and watched the game, the State League game against Glenelg, and he said to me, I'm going to go buy a Crows jumper and put number 42 on the back. So he's a really excited. He wants to get in before the rush. That's what I'm saying. Mm. But Charlie Cameron's a really dynamic small forward for us. We'll see him pretty soon, I reckon. he's exactly, it feels like he's exactly what we need. High energy tackler, hits the scoreboard, forward pressure. We need more of those young players coming through, that's for sure.
Chance for Collingwood?
Outside chance, yeah.
Okay. 1-999-1395, we're interactive. Here's one. Round 2, Port won the showdown by 55. Yesterday, the Maggies won by 45. Is Port's talent and depth that much better than yours?
No, it's not. I mean, in that showdown, we actually hit the front. We hit the front in the third quarter, and then I think we didn't score a goal after we hit the front. So, as I said, I've said it a couple of times now in the interview, we can play good footy. We're not sustaining it for four quarters. We've done it once this year. We're still a young side. We're looking for consistency. We can improve, all of us. That's from me, the assistant coaches, our leadership group, right down to our 47th player on our list. We can certainly improve. We're at round 7. We're a third of the way through the season. We've got plenty of fight left in us yet, so we're going to work our backsides off to improve our footy club. We know our supporters are really disappointing us at the moment. We accept that. We're really flat as well about how we've played the last 48 hours ago, but that's not who we are, and we'll be back better than ever.
Is there a part of your ground that's more of an issue, midfield, defence, forward line, that you want a quicker fix on?
No, it's across the whole team. Okay. I mean, I spoke to the boys this afternoon, as I said in the review, and I was pretty scathing on all three areas, forwards, midfielders, and our defenders. So they've all got to improve. They've all got to get back to, as you mentioned, bone playing Crows footy, and we're not seeing that consistently at the moment.
And you're confident 100% that the players get your message? It's always the question. Are they still attacked? I mean, there's been such a great relationship, and that's not just blowing wind where the sun don't shine, but it's a fact. There's harmony, and they are hearing every word you are saying.
No, they're good. The players and I get on great. I have some really strong conversations with individuals, and I normally do that one-on-one. But I'll certainly back the boys in. I really care about them. I think we can have some long-term success with our footy club. I know we can have some long-term success with our footy club. We're building a really good, strong list. You know, we've had 7 NAB rising stars in the last 2 and a bit years. That's second only to GWS. I mean, we've got some great young talent coming through. Our development program's great. This club's going to be really good, and we're going to be a real force.
Do you need to fix off-field then? Are you happy with your coach? I mean, does your coaching staff have a use-by date?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm really happy with what I'm getting from those boys at the moment. You know, you mentioned we lost Dean Bailey a week before the season started, which really hurt us. But Rowie mentioned David Noble's come across from list management and sort of helping me a bit more in the preparation for the game and also on game day. But we'll look to replace that Dean Bailey role next year. But at the moment, I'm getting an incredible amount of support from those boys, and there will be changes at some point. I'm not sure whether that's going to be next year or, you know, 2-3 years down the track. Yep. But when the time comes that I'm not getting what I want, then we'll certainly make some adjustments. But at the moment, I really like what I'm getting from those guys.
Well, while you coach, Paddy D's going to be there. We heard that quote the other day. They would have put
a smile
on your
face. I did like that, actually. Yeah. I had a good chat to him after that, and I said I appreciate him saying that, yeah, because I should sign my contracts alongside his.
You're cool, calm and collected in the presses, and we know you've got to go, Santa. You've got another appointment. But today you tore paint off the walls. Who got the biggest barrel? You didn't point at truck again, did you?
No, it wasn't.
Do you individualise?
I do. I don't do it normally in front of the team. I do it that face-to-face, just one-on-one. I don't think anyone benefits from a public spray. As you said, that I do regret the Rutten one when you know, I stuck my finger in his chest. But
I know those days are gone, but maybe you just need the little pitiful Pittman comment out there.
Maybe. I mean, don't worry. And for our fans, I know sometimes you want to hear me angry and you want to hear me yelling and all that sort of stuff. Our players are really clear when they're not getting what I want from them.
And that's good. And that's a balancing act. I get that. You can't go back to the Malcolm Blight days. And I know you've got a bit. We've all got a bit of that in us. Yeah. But when we get back to your original comment, attacking and ruthless, I think the Crows want to start seeing some ruthless.
Yeah, well, would you agree?
Without question,
the players are pretty. Well, if you weren't clear today when you left the footy club about what's expected of being a Crows player, then you had the earmuffs on during the review. But we'll be better. We've got a chance in 7 or 8 days, or about 9 days. We've got a chance to redeem ourselves. We play a really hot Collingwood side. You know, their midfield with Beams, Swan, Pendlebury. side bottom. I mean, we're going to come up against a really good side in our next opponent, so we've got to make sure we improve.
Sando, thanks for your time. A big effort to drive all the way in and take those calls for 30 minutes. Collingwood in 10 days, you get the text, the truck, Dougie and all those guys back. All the best in refocusing this group. It won't take a lot. They win Thursday, Bone. That's what I said at the start of the show.
You did?
Win Thursday. All this is put behind. 4-4. Sando, thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Dom.
Brenton Sanderson, coach of the Crows.